Diane, not everyone has an encounter. Why is that? Some people do, some people don't.
This is true, George. Some people do, some people don't. And actually, I address that in my book. There are a number of variables. But what I looked at, there were basically three. One was what we call the social profile. Bob Bigelow, are you familiar with Bob Bigelow?
Oh, yeah, we know Bob real well.
Okay, yes, he created a study. This was back in the 90s.
That's when he was financing NIDS, right?
Actually, it was before then.
All right.
And he did what they did, the social profile. It was the Roper study, and almost 6,000 people took this survey. They found that 11% said or reported they had, quote, seen a ghost. However, 16% of those were influential Americans. That means they were community leaders, trendsetters, committee members. They were socially active. They were college graduates, wealthier than the norm, married with children. So that social profile says, all right, these are the type of people who most likely have encounters. I did a study with the Myers-Briggs personality type indicator, which is it's just a basic. Are they introvert? Are we extrovert? Are we intuitive? Are we feeling? The different basic personality types. 96% of personality types were the intuitive feeling, and not any of the sensing thinking types did have encounters. So also, we have the social profile, and now we have this Myers-Briggs personality types. Now, I look at a third thing. People who have afterlife encounters are spiritually engaged, meaning they can be very ill, dying. And if we're traumatized, that also opens us for spiritual experiences. And at different times in our life, we open just automatically and we become spiritually engaged. At other times, something else can bring it on. But of these three things, these are the main personality types, the main people who have afterlife encounters, fit into these three categories.
Is there any category more important than the other, or are they all the same?
If we looked at just said, and one is more important, great question, George. I would say it would be the spiritually engaged.
You would? Why is that?
Because that's when we're really open. Say, for instance, someone may not fit into the social profile. They may not fit into this intuitive feeling on the Myers-Briggs. But yet something has happened and they're very spiritually engaged. They may be very ill. They may be bereaved. But something has happened to them so that they're open for something with an afterlife to come in. Of course, there are other considerations beyond these three things. For instance, maybe we are busy with something and don't realize that the person is there. But also, that's talking about the living. What about the deceased? I've been conducting a little survey on the side where I consider the role of the deceased. What do they play in afterlife encounters? And it seems that the deceased, when they are creative and if they have a strong personality, those are most likely to come through for individuals. So there's a number of variables between the people who have them and those who don't.
The fact that someone never has one or may never have one, and I haven't had one yet. What does that tell you, though? I mean, because we still could fit the social, the personality. We could be spiritual. It's just not happening to us. Why?
Well, what we would need to do would be to sit down and make out a checklist. And say, for instance, on the Myers-Briggs, you may not be the personality type. But let's just say that you are, as you say, and you fit the profile, you fit all of these. We would just sit down and say, all right, well, so what is going on? First of all, is there a need? People most often have afterlife encounters when there's a need. It's not that we want one, we need it. Perhaps you've never had a real need for one.
Does that make you believe then, or does that suggest that it is created in the mind?
I don't know if they
want it so much, they need it so much, they create it.
Well, this goes back to longing. Of 82% of the respondents from the survey were not longing for anything. So I wouldn't say that it's longing or creating that because we have a need for it. Because like I said, those 82% of those people had no need. They had no longing.
Well, that's possible.
There is so much, and this is what just keeps me going. I mean, it's just fuel for me. Is that there's so much we still don't understand. I mean, like this survey that I'd conducted, no one, I mean, if you consider how long, I mean, from generations, we have been interested in afterlife encounters. Oh, gosh, in antiquity, they built their lives around the afterlife. And yet no one had considered comfort and bereaved. Well, how exactly does that affect us until I did this survey? There's so much we don't know yet.
And what can you conclude now based on the data?
You mean as far as the other survey that I did with the comfort and
yes,
grief?
Yes.
First of all, it's extremely comforting. I was amazed that this 83% would rate it in the highest comfort level, not only at the time, but what's important is the intensity was great, but also the duration. Some of these people, it had been 40 and 50 years since they'd had their encounters, and yet still rated them way up, 8, 9, 10 on the comfort scale. And as far as grief, I mentioned earlier, it doesn't extinguish it. But, oh, in fact, most of the stories in my book, there were 90 people who gave stories for the book. And I strictly wrote that because they were asking, please, if my story can help someone else, this is what's gotten me through my grief. This got me through my mourning. When I would get down and out and absolutely at the bottom, I turned to think about my son. I turned to think about my daughter. I turned to think about whoever that was that visited them. That's what got me through my grief.
And how many of them continue to be strong enough to be able to say that years later? Do you know? Was there a time limit here?
There wasn't a time limit. I strictly asked, how long has it been? Like some of them, it had been a year, but for some, it had been 40, 50, 60 years. And they still said they still rated it just the same.
So basically having an afterlife encounter with a departed one will minimize one's bereavement. Is that pretty accurate to say?
I don't know if I would say it minimizes their bereavement. I would say it helps them carry that burden of the load. That when they get to a place that they say, I don't know if I can get out of bed today, they can think back of their afterlife encounters, and they say that got them up and got them going.
But the big question is it created in the mind or is it real? And we don't know that yet, do we?
We can't say positively, but here it goes back to that one chapter in my book of the evidence, those six conditions that I considered as evidence. If you really look through those, how on earth, say for instance, Tommy and Beverly, the mother whose son was murdered, how could she have created that in her mind? His blood was in the snow, and he came to her and told her where she would find it.